Blog Talk Radio.
From across that sea, it lingered there, and it touched your hair. You walk with me. Summer long, we sang a song, and we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts, sweethearts, and the summer wind.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Max, can you call the radio show number? I can text it to you.
You just texted it to me?
Yeah, I will, right now.
Yeah, because I suddenly, all right, I called the other number and I just got told that I could wait and listen to the show.
Oh, yeah, that's the number you called. Yeah.
You just texted me.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Everyone, Max Gill should be here in any moment. Yeah, we are real, Max, everyone, and, hold on, Hey, Max, did you give out the number? I texted it to you.
I kept getting the switchboard telling me they would get me, I'd just wait and I'd be able to listen to the show.
Yep, and I will let you on. When you call back in, you will talk to me. So try back.
Call you back at this number?
Yeah, call me back on the, and I will, on that number I gave you, and then... we will be able to talk.
The number you're calling on right now.
No, the number. The number I texted you, the...
Okay.
The 347 one, yeah. Okay, everyone. Slight delay, you guys, but I am so, so excited. More than I've been in a long time for the interview. So we already on Max, and we already on Max, and we already on Max, everyone. So. I hope everyone's having a good. Okay. You guys, Max Gill is here. He played Sonny's father on V8. And just listen to this for a moment in case everyone forgot about Summer Rain. Or Rain. Okay, everyone, I'm bringing on Max. I'm so excited about this interview. You know, Max has been on so many good shows, like Bonnie Mill and everything. But recently, for the past 2.5 years almost, he was Michael Bennett. Let's welcome Max Gill. Hi, Max.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited. I didn't really sleep last night knowing that we were doing the interview. I've been so excited for this interview because, number one, you came on at the recast for Mike Corbin, but I will tell you this, and that is not a lie, that you know, I forgot, day number one you came on the show, I forgot
sure.
about Von Hale. I forgot about Von. When you first came, the first scene you came, my mind went to you were really, you know, Mike. And for almost two years, you were the best Mike Corbin General Hospital ever had. And
well, appreciate that, you know, but I just think it's a, at least for an actor, it's kind of a trap to get into. You know, we go along with the Emmys and all that. I mean, it's wonderful to be acknowledged, but it's a collaborative thing and it's a creative thing. So I think I've never looked at any of Ron's stuff. I know he was on, you know, for a long time and they had a great relationship. And at the same time, I love the way they reintroduced Mike, because he had gotten in a 12-step program. So he'd found a way to deal with his
yeah.
way that he had of constantly making bad choices. So in a way, he was a different guy. You know, the fact that he
yeah.
also had Alzheimer's and was forgetting stuff and was in a state of denial or whatever, that's been what's connected so many people to the storyline. Is that transition? But I always felt that that's the difference between the two. But anyway, go ahead. Keep.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you run the show.
You're so funny. You took this Alzheimer's storyline, which a lot of people didn't know that much about. For the guy, like, you know, and this is the first time on daytime You know, Young and the Restless, yeah, okay, did about the same time, but you storyline was way more slow. You took the whole cast in itself. Every day that you guys were playing the storyline, it was like a day no one wanted to miss. Because you and Mo were so good acting partners. You guys just knocked it out of the park in every time. And the scene between you guys, I've been rewatching this since COVID-19 and you're dying on me on the show. And because I didn't want them to kill you, I wasn't ready to let my go. I wasn't. Sunny was more prepared to let you go than I was. I was like, okay, can we just keep them a little longer, please? You know. But, you know, no one listened to me on that. But how was it working with Mo? Because Monique Bernard is a legend, kind of like you all. So how was that?
Okay, hold on 1 second, okay? Just 1 second.
Okay.
I try to go for a walk before sunset and all every day with my sweetheart Chris. And what happened was we just took longer to get the stairs done. So I just pulled into the co-op parking lot, and she's going to come over and get my card, and she's going to go into the co-op and get our stuff for dinner tonight. You asked me how was it to work with Mo. Okay, well, you know, yesterday I went over to Mo's apartment in Studio City that he keeps because he has a huge home down near San Diego, but when he's up doing the show, he stays in an apartment close by, so he doesn't have to make a multi-hour drive, you know. But he was shooting. He'd asked me to participate in this wonderful YouTube show that he does called State of Mind.
Yes.
And so we just, had a chance to talk. Like, we haven't a lot because usually we see each other, you know, on the set or in makeup or something. We're kind of focused. He usually has a bunch of other scenes. And, you know, I mean, we connect really well and beautifully. Most of that, you know, while we're working on the characters. But we have a great relationship, and we were talking about all of that. And for me, from the get-go, when I went in to read, and just we were able to be alive together right away. And so we've been on this journey that was, you know, you know, I understand why people ask the question, and yet it's very hard. You know, any close working creative relationship that anyone's ever had, whether being a parent or a worker or an actor or a talk show host or whatever it is, you know, you do. I mean, it's like that.
Well, yeah. And the thing that with you, Mike and Sunny, overall, you guys came so far in that relationship. You guys, it was one of the most, like Sunny said to Carly, it was a gift. It was this incredible gift. And whoever you were working with, you just always made it seem so awesome and great. And especially those you last couple weeks. And I wanted to ask you, how was it lying in the bed being kind of comatose but not, and people were like talking to you, but you couldn't really talk back because you were kind of asleep, or, you know, they put morphine on you. Well, they probably didn't really give you morphine, but how was that? How was laying in that bed for as long as you were in that bed and people were saying such nice things to you and you were supposed to be asleep?
Well, if you really want to know, you know, the sort of nuts and bolts of, you know, approaching that as an actor, as you know, might be kind of, I don't know, that, you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where I love to talk about it or think about it. I mean, to have an opportunity to work on things. So working on those different phases. The one thing I didn't do was during the time where we were out because of the virus, we hadn't gone on yet. I had the thought, gee, I could fast right now and I could look like somebody that was maybe, you know, stopped eating, you know, because when you get to, if you stop eating long enough to get to that state where you're dying from it, you know, but I didn't know for sure if we were going to come back and finish the story that way. And I just didn't. So there's that. Okay. On that level, but on the levels of, well, what's going on for somebody during those times? And I love the way they came up with of having these kind of fantasies that you don't really know. Is that Eden's fantasy or is that Mike is thinking? Where is that thought coming from? You know, and it wasn't that tried to be all spelled out in the writing. These conversations, you know, the conversation he has with Sonny that's kind of like, hey, how come you're stringing me along here? And so they happen in that area, you know, kind of when the veils part, there's an area of life. You know, it's like Mike showing up after he's died. Well, that happens. You know, it happens. The sort of modern
guy
doesn't know how to deal with
that.
It, but everybody knows it. You know? So what I did was I thought, you know, we don't really know when someone's in a coma. And oftentimes people have been in a coma and then you find out they were hearing everything. And, you know, so, and then I, when it got really toward the end, I just worked with a friend of mine, a doctor, what's happening around, you know, we come in and we have our first breath. And when we go out, we take our last breath. But when we take our last breath, then the body can suddenly, involuntarily, the body, the brain realizes it needs breath and the body breathes. And that's kind of what's happening with people with that kind of breathing around the time they're dying. So I tried to be with that. And I tried to be in a space where I'm sort of listening, but I'm not sure, am I dreaming this or am I, you know, or what, or sometime, whatever I was doing, I knew I couldn't pull out of it to say something. And then I just trying to get that breathing to be real and just not take a breath until my body wouldn't let me just be exhaled and would do it. But also try to not time it, not have it happen when somebody had a line, you know, feel the rhythm of their sharing and the rhythm of what they were. So that's how I approached it. And I tried to stay in the bed other than when I had to go to the bathroom. I tried to stay through the breaks. I tried to just hold that space of somebody in the hospital bed, even when they were shooting scenes out in the hallway and stuff. I tried to hold it rather than let go of it and then just jump back in and shut my eyes sort of thing.
Seeing all of it come on forward with the cast, if you guys don't get Emmy this coming year for the storyline, I'm going to California and you don't want to know what I will do, because this storyline was the best of the decade. I'm not going to say it's the best of 2020, 2019, 18, no. This was the best of the decade for Dental Hospital. With everyone's performance so good, so on, you had so many people in the storyline. And if all of you guys deserve the Emmy right now, in my opinion, because it was the most heavy material you guys had toward the end. And I especially, you know, I looked at Eden, who I was the same age, as Eden is by now, when I lost my grandfather to the aneurysm, and was he died today, 26 years ago. So having you on, it was, I thought, was a total coincidence. But when you and Eden shared any scenes from the, you know, you wanted him, you bought Deb and Zoss to break you out of the retirement home to those last scenes you and Eden had, and it was kind of like a back thing that you guys did. But when you said to her, when you gave her Sunny necklace, Sunny Mom necklace, so whatever it was, when you said, you know, and she didn't want to take it because it was Sunny Mom, and you said, you are like all the others, and I don't want to ever hear that you're not. And you guys had that special relationship, and it was a nice thing to see the flashbacks of if you did make it to all these events. And it was really heartwarming of that. And even with you and Michael, that you have flashbacks, and you and Carly, all of it, the flashbacks and everything that you guys were doing was just amazing, because it felt like everyone got the closure they needed. And but it was just, to me, the best that I've ever seen. And I mean, from the moment you were diagnosed with, Mike was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and you didn't want to accept it at first, and you were being a little stubborn, but you finally signed the piece of paper. And I was just thinking in my head that you and, oh God, what's the name? I'm having a brain fart. Oh God, the one that, Stella. I was hoping you and Stella would get together, because you two were fantastic screen partners, by the way. You guys were so fantastic screen partners. And so when they put you with the bond, I was kind of mad. I'm like, excuse me, he has someone right there. And, you know, I just love that. And I loved every scene that you were with the kids. I loved, especially when you were with Avery, and you kind of took her to the host place, and you thought she was courting for a moment. And all those moments, you knocked it out of the park. And, you know, I have been saying since you left us that you could come back as Mike's brother that no one known about, because you are truly missed on the new hospital. Yeah, you've been gone for 2 months, 3 months, but I want you back now. And so when you came in the snow with Sunny and told him, do you want to go or do you want to stay? And it was snowing. And I'm like, wait a moment, it doesn't snow in California. But it was amazing when you came to him in the snow. And right now, everyone thinks Sunny is dead on the show, but he's not. So, yeah, how, you know, when you got the call to go on DH, were you hesitant to go on daytime because there's a lot of lines to learn on daytime? Or were you really looking forward to this beyond daytime? What was your thought process?
You know, it was not a world that I really knew much about. Way back before your time, when we were shooting Barney Miller, it was an ABC show. So on the days mm-hmm. that we would shoot, we would be in our dressing room. So in rehearsal days, we were just on the set. But then when we would shoot, we'd be in our dressing rooms. They'd have the live feed from General Hospital on until they fired up our cameras on the set. And then what would be on would be whatever was going on with the show. So you'd know that if they were coming up on your scene or something, you know, just help to keep everybody together. And I remember that was the time when Anthony Gary, and he had been in an acting class that I did with Lee Strasberg, who was a, you know, much revered acting coach, teacher. And so I remember Tony. I remember him because he was so committed to his work and so on it on a kind of level. And I was more like... I felt more like a beginner or something, you know. There was a way he attacked it, which he brought to, you know, he turned being in a soap opera to being a major kind of global star, you know. But I remember also because we were doing a comedy, so we were all about laughs and being funny, trying to touch the heart because that's where the good laughs come from. But sort of the opposite of the soap, you know, in terms of, you know, like you never see in a show like Barney Miller, you never see the scene end with a long hold on somebody's close-up where they are sitting thinking about what they just said or what somebody just said to them, you know. That's the way they end all the scenes on soap. That's just the form of it, you know. But nobody would wait that long without coming up with something funny to say, you know. You just, you know. I mean, it's just, so there were differences. It was just a world that I didn't – and I knew – that soap opera fans were, you know, really involved with the characters on the show. Because a friend of mine, a long time ago, I was in New York and I was seeing this friend of mine and he'd been doing, I don't even remember what show it was. Might have been General Hospital. An actor named Paul Gleason. And we were walking down the street and these people came up to him and, you know, a bunch of people and they just kept calling him by his character's name. And that's really, they wanted to talk to him as the character, you know. He's going, guys, I appreciate it, but I'm not him. I'm me. I'm an actor, you know. I'm here with my friend, and you know, so there were those things. But I also knew I had an appetite to work. I was hungry to work. I needed to do something, and I was intrigued by the storyline. And then I kind of looked up. I looked up Maurice. And saw some of his work in other films, and I saw that he was, you know, bipolar, and that he had dealt with it openly and, you know, in his life and shared journey, and that it actually introduced it as part of the character's being, too. So I just thought, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, and it was enough for me to go, like, okay, whatever feelings I have about soap, it wasn't really about learning so many lines. First of all, I didn't think I was going to have that many, and I never did have that many. I mean, you know, you're under the gun sometimes. They're counting it down, and they're ready to roll, and they really want to get it done this first take. And I found if I got more into it, and Mike became more detached, let's say, or more, you know, I started to have a harder time because I would put myself in a space where I was kind of disconnected, and it would be my line, you know. So I found that a little bit of a challenge, but mostly it was I welcomed it more than I was intimidated by it.
Well, I just thought that, you know, you guys did such an incredible job. And the material was right on every day. And it was so great because, you know, I'm thinking that all these people in real life that get the Alzheimer's or have the older person, it made me think that you really need to talk to your loved ones about what they really want before it's too late. Because honestly, Sonny did not know what you wanted. And That was the big takeaway with me. Because I told my mom, I'm like, okay, you, even though my parents are young, I'm like, okay, you guys are going to tell us just what you want before. Well, I am not making a decision if you guys get Alzheimer's. I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. So you guys are going to have to make up your mind now. And, you know, my grandma's 93, and I told her you were coming on. And she was a big Bonnie Miller fan, and also she saw you on Emergency Road. And my grandfather got me on to Duty Hearing when I was, like, 6. And my mom, you know, yeah, 6 years old, I was watching that. And so, you know, you've been on so many other great shows besides General Hospital in your career. I mean, you were on Matlock, you were on Murder, She Wrote, you were on Home Improvement. I mean, you were on so many, Longmire, Hawaii 5-0. I mean, I cannot even count how many great TV shows you've been on. But for me, you will always be General Hospital. For me, I mean, so whatever you do next, even though I think you deserve a break after 2 years, after a very hard-hitting storyline, I hope, you know, I hope someone in daytime nabs you, because whatever show will nab you will be lucky to have you in daytime, because you made daytime. So you made daytime great, and you're winning the awards back-to-back. And you're going to win this year, too. I have this feeling that if you don't win the Emmy this year, like I said, I'm going to California. Even if we are still in this COVID crisis, I'm going to yell at the Emmy committee, because everyone did such a great job. And I know I should not hog you for the whole time, even though it's my show and I won it, but I have my co-host, so, and my host, and I don't want them to get mad at me, even though, you know, I want to hug you because I love you so much. But my last question, before I bring people on, what was it like working on Walker, Texas Ranger? Because that was one of my favorite TV shows growing up, too.
Are you there? I lost you.
Yeah, I asked you, how did you like Walker, Texas Ranger? When you were on there, you were really good on there.
Yeah, that was an interesting job. I had already worked once with him. Yes, I'm sorry. I went blank on a nice little movie shot up in Oregon, and so you know it was interesting. The best thing about that, my best experience on that, was that there was a young gal there who was goodness, I'm having one of those times where I can't remember anybody's name. This has happened to me all my life. I could be really good with names and really bad with names. But Carol Burnett, one of her daughters, Carrie, was working on that show. And I was at a time in my life where I was still adjusting to changes that had gone on when my first wife passed and stuff. And I was, I just made a really wonderful connection with her. She had had some of her difficulties in life, but she was on a good, really good place, and she was really thoughtful, caring about all the people on the set. And I always noticed that, because some people you know, don't have that much carrying, just carrying, you know, attention to other human beings and what they might be going through. They don't have that capacity, or they're so focused on their particular job that they don't really open up. But and then not long after that, I'm hearing crosstalk somewhere from somewhere, but after that, she got sick and died as still a young woman. And I always wished that I had found a way to share my feelings about her with Carol. And last year I did a small part in a film with a director that's the third time I've worked with him, and I really like him. And so and she was in the movie too. So I got to meet her and share that with her, because she's pretty iconic for Carol Burnett, you know.
Oh my God, she is. She really is. And I mean, but you are iconic too. You have to. You have to remember you're all iconic. I know you in itself probably don't think so. I probably think Monique Spinard or Laura doesn't think we are iconic. We are. And yeah, but I better bring on my co-host and my host, because if I don't bring them on, there's a chance they will all leave me or not talk to me for a couple of days, because when I told them you were coming on, all of them would be up and down. And after the year we have with COVID-19, and after today that, you know, someone got impeached, there's some joy in you. When they heard I got you, they were all happy. So let me bring on, let's see, David first, because, you know, I'm being nice to David today. Hey, David.
I'm Max. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm Big Pet. I'm doing good. I'm down here in Florida, down here with the rain, hurricane stuff, and bumped the night. Could be going crazy. But
where,
yeah,
in Florida?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh,
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. Okay, I'm a big fan of yours. I grew up watching Bonnie Miller. That was my, like, daily night routine. Watching somebody playing Bonnie Miller. What was that working on that show? Bonnie Miller. What was your favorite movie working on Bonnie Miller?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with each other. We worked hard, but we had fun.
Looks like it, yeah. Can you tell me behind secret scenes about Bonnie Miller? Behind secret scenes?
Any secrets?
Yeah, behind the scenes. Behind the scenes with Bonnie Miller.
Well, I don't know if there were secrets, but, you know, it was a long time ago. I've had all my kids since then. I've had grandkids since then. It was a long time ago, you know, and so probably if I, you know, saw Hal, or unfortunately most of the other guys have moved on to the next whatever's next, but, you know, we might have memories come up or something, but I don't really have a good behind the scenes story to tell you. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult. I just nothing's coming up for me right now, but we had a good time with each other, and you know, we cared about making a show that would respect people and also have some laughs.
Yeah, it was a funny show. That year playing show. I love it. Yeah, I used to watch it every night. I still watch it on reruns on TV when it comes on. And yet, it changed a bit. It still looked the same back then.
Yeah.
You were out there in DC Cab. What was like working on that movie, DC Cab? DC Cab.
I'm sorry, I need you to say that again. My connection is not very good.
was I working on DC Cab, the movie, DC Cab.
Well, DC Cab was fun, too. That was a pretty big bunch of crazy mix of a bunch of kind of crazy people. We had fun, but it was a kind of a, you know,
another great movie with Miss T. Yeah, I think I watched that movie about a million times. DC Cab. And what did I do when you're not working? What kind of hobby do you have when you're not working? What did I do when you're not working?
Would you ask me that again? As I told you, I don't have a very good connection, so it's a little hard to. There's a little bit of static.
What do you do when you're not working? What's your hobbies? When you're not working, what do you do when you're not working?
Well, I'm trying to be useful in different ways, and I'm focusing on, you know, playing some of my music or my songs that I write and share, and I'm seeing my grandkids and stuff.
Awesome.
It's hard to describe, you know, well, what's it like? I mean, what's it like being you?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me something about yourself?
Well, I'm big into soap operas. I'm a big Jurassic fan. I've been watching the show for about 35 years now, or so, maybe more. And I think you did a great job playing Mike Corbin. You really take the part. You really was awesome in that role. You really were awesome. Yeah.
Well,
and I'm a big fan.
I appreciate that. I mean, I think it was really cool to work on, and that lets me know that at least for you I didn't screw it up, and you know, it's been really wonderful to hear all the response. And these days with social media and this kind of thing, you know, we have a chance to talk more with people who appreciated the work. You know, in the theater you get an applause. You hear people laughing, you're right there with them. But a lot of time with film and television, you don't necessarily make that connection. So I appreciate a chance like this to hear your thoughts. And so,
Do you have a favorite movie you have to watch over and over again? You have a favorite movie, go-to movie you got to watch over and over again? Do you have a favorite movie you can watch over and over again?
If I see a movie a second time, it's usually because, you know, somebody who hasn't seen it and we're watching together or something like that. I'm more inclined to watch something I haven't seen than something I have. Even when I really like them. But, you know, not everybody's the same, right?
Right.
I'm in the classic movies. I'm in the old-time classic movies. I'm a big Alfred Hitchcock fan. Like, I'm a big Alfred Hitchcock fan.
Well, there was a, you know.
And you think about the cycle over and over again, like horror movies. It's kind
yep.
of like.
Yep. So, classic movie. He was a classic filmmaker, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was nice talking to you. I'm not going to hold up your time. And
really?
You're always welcome
nice.
To come back.
All right. Nice to talk with you, too. So, Carrie,
okay,
you have.
David, I will put you on hold. And we have call 707 on the line. Hi, welcome to Daytime After Dark.
Oh, I'm the person known as Alvin Schwartz. It's not my real name, but like I'm using, you know, I've used it in the past for this show. Like Max Scale, can you hear me?
I can.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know it was a long time ago, but I've seen you on an episode of The Streets of San Francisco. Cisco, I think it's like what's something called like Dead or Alive. It's where you play like a rapist, like murderer, and like and then like it's this situation where like your character murders some like rich girl, and then like and then the scene and then like a rich, and then his her wealthy father like puts out a little reward, and then like he and then the, seemingly the whole city goes crazy and stuff. Like, do you remember making that episode these days or not? It was like in 1976.
Yeah, it was a Streets of San Francisco episode, right?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about, and it was. I remember doing that, and that was an interesting job to work on. Play a creepy guy like that, and try to find, you know, something in him I could relate to, and but. You know, it happened a long time ago. I remember that in one of the scenes where I'm getting dressed and I'm giving my mother a hard time and trying to get her to give me the car keys and all that, just being a jerk. And I'm putting my socks on, and at one point I sniffed my socks, which is something that, you know, I don't know, I've done before, just out of habit. How dirty are these socks, you know? But it's not the kind of thing people usually do in a TV show. But I just did it because I was just, you know, just trying to be natural, just trying to act naturally, I guess. And that's the thing that most people, especially other actors, they say that cracked me up when you sniffed. I wasn't going for a laugh, but it was just everybody picks their nose at one time or another, but you don't see people doing it in a movie very often.
Yeah, I also saw you in like a busted TV part called "The Aliens Are Coming," where your character got possessed by an alien, and I'm in like and acted strange and stuff. So,
that was right. That was a remake of a show that had been on maybe a decade earlier, and they were trying to revive it, where people are kind of captured by aliens.
I believe that show was The Invaders, because it was like QM, like production company and stuff. QM production.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think, no offense, but I think by the time The Aliens Are Coming were made, like Quinn Martin had essentially effectively ended his personal involvement with it, because he sold it in 1978, and then and then it got like bought by Taft, like, you know, so and broadcasting, if you know, so like and. One more question before I go. No offense to David, but I mean this kind of as a compliment. Like, did his voice, he has a raspy voice, like, did it make you think of the late disc jockey Wolfman Jack to some extent?
You mean the guy I was just talking to?
Yeah. Did he kind of remind you of Wolfman Jack to some extent? You know, it's like, he was...
Well, I didn't think of that right when we were talking, but now that you mention it, I guess he could probably do a good Wolfman Jack impression if he wanted to. He does have a raspy voice, yeah.
Right.
You
Thank
guys
you.
All know
like,
each other?
I'm going to go around. Thank you.
Show? Oh, okay.
What'd you say just now before you...
I'm wondering if you guys all know each other. You know, if you're working together, if you're in
together. I don't know Carly or David real well, so I'm so I don't. I live in California. I'm in, okay. Hey, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Nice trying.
All right.
I'm gonna go.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Christopher. He hung up. Okay. He is. I'm sorry for that, Max. Now I'm bringing on my co-host. And, okay, David, we already did. Bobby?
Hey, Max, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Bobby?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say, first of all, I didn't even know you was in DC Cab until David brought it up, because I've seen that film so many times before. And the main reason I've seen the film was because of the acting style that Mr. T had after watching him on the A-Team and watching him in other films and other projects he did back in the day. But I didn't realize that you was also in that film, because all I know is just DC Cab just from the fact that Mr. T was in it.
Well, he was sort of the standout person at that time.
Right, right, because he started off, because Mr. T had a lot of things going on at the time. He had a cartoon. He was involved with the Rocky III movie. He was involved with the A-Team, and he was also involved with the wrestling at the same time. So he was a busy on-demand person back in the day. But I do want to just bring up your General Hospital career, and I just want to just say that it was just kind of great with all the craziness that's been going on in the world that they were able enough during the holidays to replay one of your last few episodes from last year, and I thought it was just kind of great. But when I look at the fact that I can't hardly believe that Mike is gone on General Hospital, and I'm just glad that you came back to just tell Sonny if you thought it was time for him to go.
Yeah.
Right.
That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, if they ask you to come back, because like Carly said, you could probably play Mike's brother. If they ask him to come back, would that be in spirit form or as another character? Willing enough to? Because I wouldn't mind seeing you back on General Hospital or even on another soap or anything like that.
Well, we'll just have to see what happens. You know, I don't really know. I'm not in control. I'm making those decisions for something. I like the idea of coming back as the same character in relationship, kind of coming back from the other side, you know. But I'm not sure how far you can go with that. So.
Yeah. And like Carly said, and I'll probably will agree with her right here, if they don't give you a daytime Emmy for your performance on General Hospital in the last year and a half, then something is wrong with the Emmy committee as far as supporting actor or lead actor or whatever category that you would fit into since you wasn't a guest star a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is, and there are other actors with making other fine performances, and then
I agree.
But I am going to submit this year. Last year I didn't submit.
Okay.
I felt like
I just
wanted to get it, but anyway, you know, that's
just, I just wish you the best of luck and hopefully that that you'll be able to make the cut and you'll eventually win it, because I'm definitely pulling for you to win Emmy, or at least being in honor with all these other people that are being nominated at the same time.
Yeah. Well,
thank
you.
All right. And you have a great night, and I'll just let you talk to some more callers. Have a good night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby.
So,
Carly?
And
now
Carly,
we have
Carly?
Two more hosts.
Carly.
We have two more calls, and then we all...
Okay, I can do two more.
Yeah. Nadia is the new host. Hey, Nadia.
Hi, Max. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Glad you're on the show tonight. Thank you for coming on to the show. I appreciate that very much.
I'm having a nice time.
I'm glad you are. This is awesome time for us to have you on the show. So I have a couple of questions. So what made you start your acting career?
Oh, I don't know when I really started, maybe, or something, you know, but I mean, I was looking for opportunities to work out. I'm hearing a lot of other sound and voices.
I know, me too.
Thank you, too. Yeah. So, you know,
yeah.
I was something that I was looking to figure out what I wanted to do. And
mm-hmm.
I did it.
Okay.
So that's what I'm still doing.
That's awesome. And have you ever done Broadway theater at all during your career? Have you done any Broadway theater?
I did one on Broadway. Broadway music.
Max, I think you're cutting out.
I don't know what to do about that.
I know.
Well,
yeah. I said too. Yeah, he's cutting out, I think.
You know, the other calls,
yeah,
can you hear
me
now?
Any other question, Nadia? Because we have Maggie also.
Oh, okay. Well, no, but thank you very much, Max. I apologize for the background noises and stuff. I don't know what's going on with that, but.
I think I'm just saying because Boston team right now, we have been having wind and lightning and everything. And everyone's power is off but mine, so yes. So Natalia, I will put you on hold and bring on Maggie.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Hey Maggie.
Hi. Hey, hi. Thank you very, very much for being my Christmas gift.
Uh-huh.
You are.
Yeah.
You're my guest.
Yeah, this was Maggie's Christmas gift that I got her. I couldn't get Mo on the show, so
Daddy.
The best thing was you. So, yeah.
Oh, God, I love it. And you were so sweet to take off your coat for my sonny and give it to him. Oh, I love you. You know that, Rachel Hovitz. And loved you all these years, and oh my God, you did an outstanding job. There's not enough accolades in the world to express how you touched my heart.
Well, that first.
This is great because sometimes you see actors like Daddy and I was always Barney Miller. I didn't really get into it, but we always had to watch it. And I love Wojo. He was always my favorite. And to turn the different parts around, like in San Francisco, oh my God, it's not you, but it was you. The way, the depth of your acting, I mean, because you could look like a bad guy.
Somebody's got to play the bad guys.
Somebody does, right? But you did an outstanding job, and I am so thrilled, and thank you, and wonderful that you walked away with Courtney. That, hopefully, God willing, we'll see more of you.
That was amazing.
Well,
oh, God. She was a perfect person.
I have to say goodnight, but I've really enjoyed these conversations. Thank you, Carly.
And,
you were very persistent.
Yep, and Max, I hope you can come on back someday. Sometime we love to have you. Let me know when you are doing something, and we would love to promote it, right, Maggie?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
I love you, and thank you.
All right. Thank you. Love and peace, everybody.
Okay,
yes, please.
Thank you so much, Max.
All right. Bye-bye.
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 My era.
Okay. Wasn't that better than what I originally was going to send you was a Frank Sinatra CD? Okay. And I'm bringing on Nadia. And David and Bobby.
Hi.
And
hi,
Nadia, I want you to meet Maggie. I want
you
to meet Nadia.
Finally.
And
hi, Nadia.
I want to clear something up. We are the three
host and the boys are co-hosts. So that's where the playing field is. So I just want to clear that up all on also tonight. And I hope I did a good interview. I was nervous, Maggie. I was thinking. I never sick for Chris Stock or Zayetti or anyone like that, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I almost freaked myself out. And, you know, I don't know where that came from, but that was one of the best interviews we have done this year. And Maggie, we are so glad you called in. I was praying all day that you would call in because that was my Christmas present to you, because it was either Frank Sinatra CD or Frank Sinatra book or
which I have.
Sinatra.
Which I have.
We are working on getting Monique Spinard on the show, so hopefully that will be coming down the pike by Nadia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With her next.
Yep. And so I just want to say to all of us, today the hospital was not on, unfortunately.
No. No, it'll be on tomorrow.
What?
Very important thing he has to say.
Well, okay, will it be on tomorrow? Okay. But,
yes, it will.
You know, he got impeached. He got impeached. Okay, for the second time. I know, I should not sound this steady by him. Okay, after what he did last Wednesday. And then he wants to go on TV and wants to say, let's unify the country. When may, am I going crazy? Or was he the one that didn't unify us last week? He was the one that started that crap. By everyone, or am I crazy?
You're right.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. And. You know, Nadia, we sometimes do talk politics on here because especially after today was a slam dunk for the American people. And I don't know how they are going to do the trial, if they are going to do the trial. Everyone said it might be when Joe Biden gets inaugurated. What has everyone heard?
I don't know, but I will tell you right now, it's a good thing that Trump wasn't reelected, because he could have ended up being just like Richard Nixon, because this whole thing had Watergate written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I totally agree. Yeah. I thought that was bad, but...
Yeah.
Putting the vice
I was too young to remember that, but...
I remember
that. Oh. Okay. I remember. I'm not saying I'm just saying that
don't we have just an hour time?
I was just saying that. Okay, Maggie, because Maggie, you know, the youngest person on here, you know, I'm being really nice. Because I would never call Maggie, you know, you're still young.
I'm the oldest.
But you know what I mean,
I'm second oldest. I'm second oldest.
I'm second oldest. All right, we're the old people.
Since you've been through, the Nixon stuff and whatever, and... Both of us wasn't even alive then. Okay, maybe David.
No, I was not. I remember. I was too young. I was too young.
The three of us weren't.
I was alive.
So if someone is impeached twice.
I do remember.
Okay.
Just actually following the Nixon stuff through history books.
We can't talk over each other.
It's history books, right?
Remember, this is not the view on drugs.
I'm sorry.
Does that mean he's
I have a bunch of
for president again, Maggie?
Hopefully.
What did you think, Maggie?
Hopefully.
Okay, because, you know, watching the Senate today, all day long on the
House
floor, and what I took away from it, no one thought of the election being stolen from him. No one even brought that up on the Republicans, okay? They never brought that up. They just basically wanted the Democrats to be called liars, which we weren't. And number two, we were attacked by people last week. The American got attacked. And I'm sorry, but Trump, Giuliani, his kids, all of them have to pay for this. And some of the senators who've been enabling him for the last 5 years, like Stephen Colbert said, I did not say this, Stephen Colbert said it. It's time for them to be in trouble too, because this was not okay what a sitting president does, whatever he thinks he is. And you know what? Thank God, thank you, Trudeau, for banning him. Thank you, Facebook, for banning him. It was about time. You know, he can't. And the fact that this impeachment, none of his office staff were fact-checking like they were last year. I mean, they have nothing to say. Mike Pence is a pussy. I'm sorry to say this on the show, but you know what? He had the chance to do the 25th Amendment. But, oh no, nothing wrong with Donald. No, really. Nothing mental is wrong with him, really. Really. Okay? Then Mike Pence, you need to go down too. For what? For all of this too. You kind of helped that day too, along with Rudy Giuliani. Does everyone agree?
Yep.
Mhm.
See, and I have more daytime after dark news. Okay, that everyone's together for once. Tomorrow, we have Real Anderson, Andrews, on the show at 1 p.m. my time, 4 p.m. Everyone else's time, and 3 p.m. Maggie's time. He's going to be on here on the show. And then we also have Purdue, who plays the Danny, on Friday at noon, my time. So that would be 3, you guys' time, 2, Maggie's time. So we have... This is, you guys think about it, this is the week of the hospital stars.
Yay!
My favorite.
Yeah.
And
you know what? And, you know, everyone was on Twitter pissed off about us not getting dinner today. I know there was a lot of stuff going on about that, but, people, we had to lay this to bed. Like my grandfather said, he needs to be punished. And it was, do I want to miss dinner hospital? No, ever. Never, ever do I want to miss a day of the week. But this was the only good breaking news story that they could book in that I'm not mad about. And It was funny. On the West Coast, you guys, it went on here until 2 o'clock when Kelly Clarkson came on. It ended right when the 8th verb ended, and I started laughing at the irony of it. So, yeah. And
I'm not sure if Los Angeles actually got General Hospital or they got a repeat or more news beyond that after 2 o'clock Pacific. But I'm sure that people in LA didn't get General Hospital either. And if they did, they got a rerun.
Exactly, and also.
So I think people in Vancouver in Canada got a rerun. Also, because people in Vancouver got a rerun while we had to dealt with local news. Because I think people in Canada had a rerun while the United States had the news on. And tomorrow's episode that was supposed to air today, it's going to air tomorrow instead.
Yeah, and I just want to say something about the Ace from yesterday. Though I haven't seen all of it, and Maggie probably knows where I'm going, and maybe not yet, but Maggie... In the South knows where I'm always going. How dare you, Ava? How dare you? Okay? You've been trying to redeem yourself to a nice person all these months, and then you go into Carly's house, Sunny and Carly's house, and you demand Avery, and you have that damn Nicholas. We the papers. Oh, yeah, like, we really want to believe Nicholas. And I am sick and tired of everyone throwing shit at Carly's face about Spencer when Zach was in on that, too. But no one throws shit at Zach. Everyone on Twitter was throwing it in my girl. I'm sorry. And for Ava to go and get her, after they think her father just died, how cold are you, Ava? You don't have a heart. You never had a heart. And Carson wanted to raise her to protect her from Ava, to protect Avery from Ava. And I know there's a lot of people say, well, call me your number by line to come under. Okay, you know what? Carly was there when Ava was feeling sick. Carly was there when Ava was having a good or bad day. Carly was there when Sunny couldn't calm her down. Okay, where in the hell were you, Ava? That's why you were off sleeping with someone. Okay? You got your first dog killed by Ryan Chamberlain. Okay? And now this. And Morgan's dead because of you. Okay, so I'm sorry, Natalia, this is one of the things that I should warn you about. I do go on rants. Okay, I want to apologize, but it made me mad. And Maggie, you get what I'm saying, right?
I totally get what you're saying. I was infuriated, as you saw on Twitter, that Jackass was there. And that stupid moss is still there. That really bugs the
I know. The moss is still there, though, Maggie. But what really bugs me is that the fact of the matter, Ava has never been a mother to Avery. Only when it suits her. Only when, you know, she wants to be. And may I remind you, okay, Sunny did not have to bring her over when Kitty died. Okay? Sunny didn't have to have her come
talk
visit her when Kitty was in the mental when Ava was in the mental institution. But Sunny did. Well, Laura kind of helped him on that one. But the thing is, Ava, you trash. I'm sorry. You're coming to my Carson's house and demand your dollar and you bring Prince Cassidine, who left Spencer without a father for 3 years. But Nicholas and Ava, oh, great. They are so in love. They are so stable. No, they are the two most people. Okay, Nicholas played dead for 3 years. Then Spencer think he was dead. And if it wasn't for Sonny stepping in as a father figure to Spencer, to explain that he could not kill Valentin Cassidy. Even though I thought that was the greatest thing when Spencer said, you know, you just have to put him on ice. So for me, I'm still mad. And fine, if you get mad at me on Twitter, I don't care. Block me if you don't think I do not like Ava. I will never like Ava. And after
I love Ava.
Yesterday,
I agree with what she says, but I think I agree with what she does, by the way. Great actress. Let me move on.
Yeah, she really is a great actress.
She has great actress.
I never really cared for her, even when she was on YNR. Okay?
Which is Diana.
Oh, she was underused on YNR.
She was Diana on YNR.
She was underused.
Okay, I know I'm yelling.
And then
she
was on
that
World Turns also.
World Turns too.
Yeah, and Nadia, so how do you like being on a crazy show like this?
Huh?
Yeah,
don't worry. She has these features.
Yeah, we
features.
I know.
Sometimes we don't
features
with each other. But at the end of the day, we are family, and even if we blow up at each other or we don't agree with each other,
okay, feeling hurt.
Or if someone is in love with Ron Carabaldi and thinks that he's doing such a great job with the leads, you know, at the end of the day, we still love each other. And so, yeah, but I just want to say this interview was great. I need the four of you, wait, the three of you on Twitter to thank Max for coming on. You know, because Bobby, you, Maggie, Bobby, and Natalia are on Twitter. David, you're the only one that is not on Twitter. You need to get your thing. Boy, you need to get...
I can't remember my Twitter name.
Okay. I use my own name.
Well, just remember, have a great night, you guys, because I cannot rest my voice anymore, because we have two more interviews this week. But it was an amazing interview, and we cannot wait to do any more interviews like this, and we are going Daytime After Dark in 2021. We are going up all the way to the stars. This is going to be our year. And before we go, I'm still mad about the Seahawks. I'm not going to take the loss. And the Rams can just shove it, in my opinion. And Chicago for not being in the playoffs did not make me happy either. So, yes, everyone.
My Blackhawks are losing.
Everyone, when they listen to the themes, everyone.
The only, I think the only good thing out of this whole thing, Maggie, is the Bulls didn't play because the Celtics team had limited players because of COVID.
Leave it out there, you know.
Because they canceled their game last night. Because I was ready to listen to the game on SiriusXM, and next thing I knew, they canceled the Bulls game last night. So, I'm not that much of a happy person being a Chicago sports fan in North Carolina. But on the plus side, I think I understand what's going through with the sports and COVID.
Are you sitting down?
Well,
it's still the first period. The Blackhawks are losing 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys can go and on the screen, but we will be back tomorrow at 1 my time, 4 the Cook time, 3 Maggie's time with Real Andrews. So have a great night, you guys.
Okay. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Hey, Maggie.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.